As I was listening to this first reading from the letter of James being read out, I thought, what a mercy of God to make sure that this letter is part of the canon of the Mass, the canon of the Scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to just keep us realistic. And today we have this beautiful text. This is chapter 4 of the letter to James. It starts with verse 13. Beloved, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such and such a town and spend a year doing business and make a profit. You have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. Now, you know, our Lord is recorded as giving us the same teaching. You remember when he was preaching? And somebody called out and said, Master, make my brother give me my share of the inheritance. And Jesus' answer is astonishing. Man, who made me judge over you? He's the Son of God. And that answer, you know, that's not what I was sent for. And there are judges and people like that established here, and you should go to them. And then he tells the story. You know the story. A rich man had a great harvest and things were going great. So he said, I'm going to pull down these barns, build bigger ones, put all that stuff in there, and then I can just relax. You know, soul, enjoy yourself. You have much for years to come. And God said to him, you fool, tonight they're going to ask your life from you. That's a Semitic way of saying you're going to die. And what was he? Why was he foolish? Because all he was thinking of is getting wealth and comfort for now. And not thinking of the most obvious thing about our existence. We're going to die. There's one thing you can say about everybody, rich, poor, dumb, smart, whatever. We're going to die. And so this is what we have James telling us. What are you doing this? You know, there's nothing on your mind but making money. And then with money comes power and comfort. But you don't even know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. You know, I was struck by this once. It was a small incident, but I was driving home from saying Mass up in Damascus, and I wondered, there's a big bend in that road. And as I went around that big bend, there was a car there that had smashed into the guardrail on the other side of the road, and there was an ambulance there, and then I stopped to see how, you know, everything was. And there was a young woman, real estate agent. It was Sunday, but I guess, actually she may have been Jewish. She may have gone to the synagogue the day before, I don't know that. But anyway, all dressed up and ready to go to business, sell houses, Sunday, great day for that. And in an instant, her life was completely different. I prayed for her. It may have been that she wasn't like very badly hurt. She may have recovered, might be out there selling insurance today for all I know. But I couldn't get over the fragility of our life. This lovely young woman off to make her career in real estate or whatever and, you know, all dressed up, looking great to do whatever she had to do. And actually what had happened was a squirrel ran across the road and she jammed on the brakes to avoid the squirrel and lost control and smashed into this guardrail and her back was hurt. I don't know how badly. I never saw her again, of course, but I did pray for her. But I thought, within 10 seconds, this woman's whole plan was changed. And that's true of all of us. And this lovely text is just saying, in such kindness, you know, look, you know how, you know, in Arabic, they have this phrase, inshallah, you know, if Allah so wills. And they say it all the time. I'll see you tomorrow, inshallah. And sometimes they use it like, well, I hope so, you know. It's going to be a good day tomorrow, inshallah. And the Irish have that, please God, you know. I'll go over to such and such a place, please God. It's this sort of thing. And it's not meant to frighten us. It's meant to keep us, oh, I don't know the right word, maybe gentle with each other. Why go to all this trouble to build yourself up when you might not live many more days? And that's not supposed to be like a damper on everything, you know. I want to go see this great play if I'm still alive. I mean, it's deeper than that. It's just looking at reality. Our life ends, and we're judged. Sometimes people call me up, and they want prayer, sometimes just over the phone, for healing. And it's amazing how many times, you know, I say, well, you know, prayer for healing or deliverance, you know, it's not like going to the dentist. You just get your tooth pulled and out it goes and okay, now we're done. This is a process. And I asked them, have you been going to church lately? No. I said, well, don't you think maybe this is a little hello from the Lord? You know, if you want to be healed, and I'm sure you do, and I'm sure the Lord would like to heal you, then start going back to church. Go to confession. Be reconciled. You know, do the things that you know the Lord wants you to do. This is just a tap on the shoulder. This is the great danger with wealth and power. We forget about that. You know, if you're sick, or if you're broke, the end of life is a reality. But if you're doing great, feeling fine, making money, everybody thinks you're great, you can forget. All of this is going to be adjudged. It's going to be over. I'm not going to live forever on this earth. It's such a simple, you know, message. But isn't it lovely that the Lord said to James, I want you to write this stuff down. I'm going to put it in the Bible because I want people to be reminded of this. You know, we went through that whole Lent, Easter time, you know, up to Pentecost, the incredible mysteries of our faith, the Trinity, the Incarnation, the Eucharist, baptism, all these things that surround us, which are so beautiful, so fascinating, and so eternal. But then there's this aspect. Think of our Lord's parable. You're on the way to court. Why don't you settle with your opponent on the courthouse steps? You never know what's going to happen in that courthouse. Well, isn't that telling us you've got a resentment? You've got an enmity? You better get it straightened out. You might be on the way to the courthouse before you know it. It's so, I don't know the word. It's so realistic and so humble. And such a gift, huh? You should say, if the Lord wills it, inshallah, we shall do this or do that. But now you are boasting in your arrogance. What's the boasting? I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to buy a new car, and I'm going to drive to Alabama, and I'm going to make $1 million. Or whatever. And this is, well, inshallah. You know, if God so wills. It's just such a lovely tap on the shoulder, isn't it? Let's just remember who created us, who loves us, who died for us, what his plans are for our life and for our eternity. And just walk a little more humbly and pray for each other, because it's such a gift to be reminded of, among all the great realities of life, there is our own death to think about and to keep in proportion. Mm-hmm.